Welcome to Sunshine Sisters, an interview segment featuring the women making an impact in St. Petersburg today. I'm Karen Carmichael. My guest today is Anna Brochiers. Anna is a resident of Historic Old Northeast and the vice president of their neighborhood association. She moved to St. Petersburg in 2016 after living in Bradenton for 4 years. Anna and her husband, John, originally moved to Florida from Indianapolis. They promptly got busy volunteering in St. Pete. Anna has been the education co-chair for the Warehouse Arts District Association, the coach chair for the Council of Neighborhood Associations. She has a studio at Florida Craft Art where she also volunteers. And she is my right hand with the Council of Neighborhood Associations Leadership Program. John is a board member at the Museum of History and continues to work at HCA Hospitals part-time, where he is a pathologist. Please welcome my friend, Anna Brochiers, to Radio St. Pete. Anna, how are you today?
Fine, thank you.
So tell our listeners a little bit about who you are, like where you grew up, you know, how many kids you have, where you've been, what you did for a living.
Well, how long do we have? I grew up in a factory town in Anderson, Indiana. General Motors pretty much ran the town. They had factories everywhere. It was booming in the 60s and 50s, post-war with the industry. My father worked as a mechanic. My mother was a housewife. And that's pretty much it. It was an unremarkable, happy childhood. Typical, you get on your bicycle, take off, come back when it's dark. Your parents never knew where you were. And I didn't get in trouble anyway. That's the way we're going to tell the story. And so it's really quite unremarkable. My father was very strict. He was born during the Depression. He had polio. My mother was religious and strict in that way. That was difficult, especially in the 60s when everyone was wearing mini skirts. And I wasn't allowed to, although there are ways around that. I used to have a belt, and I would just put the belt on and pull the skirt up.
Yeah, I'm a member of the belt club.
Yeah. And then you get on the school bus, and you get off the school bus, and you take your belt off. That's the way that worked. So, and then I went to Ball State University. My father was of the old school that you, number one, girls don't really go to college. And it was a waste of time, and why not go get a job? So I did. I started working in high school. My senior year of high school, I had enough credits to go to school half a day. I worked full time for my senior year. By the time I graduated a senior in high school, I had enough money to pay for my first entire year of college. I did not want to go to work in the factories. So I commuted, lived at home, saved on room and board. After 4 years, I graduated with a degree in biology and chemistry and then was accepted into the cytology program at the Indiana University School of Medicine in Indianapolis. They accepted 8 students, and I was one of them. I was fortunate enough to get in. It was 12 months of rigorous work at various hospitals on the medical center campus. I graduated. I got a job in a private lab for a couple years, and then IU called me. And I went to work for the university at the School of Medicine, where I taught residents, cytology students, medical students. I was adjunct faculty at the School of Medicine for 25 years, went on to become quite proficient at fine needle aspiration biopsies, particularly in the pancreas program, the EUS pancreas program. So we were one of the pioneers for Indiana University was for that particular test for pancreatic tumors.
So for our listeners that don't know, what is a cytology?
Cytology, CYT is a Latin derivative for cell. So we studied cells. So in the body, you know, you have healthy cells, you have not healthy cells. And where you are in the body or whatever kind of tumor you have, the cells take on their own personality. And we're taught to recognize those. And it's all microscopic work, all microscopic.
Wow. These are all things that I knew some of this, but not all of this. So what inspired you to get involved in St. Petersburg?
Well, what year was it? Maybe 2012. our children were out of school. My husband had two, I had two, and they were all out of college. He was an old Navy guy, and he loved to sail. He turned 60, and he said, you know, I want a sailboat. I'd like to have a sailboat before I die. And I said, we'd better hurry. So we decided there's not a lot of sailing in Indiana, and we moved to Florida, and he had previously, in years past, owned a condo in Bradenton. So we moved to Bradenton, bought a sailboat, had fun with that. We still have her. And, well, Bradenton, particularly in the condominium, wasn't my idea. It wasn't my idea of the kind of lifestyle that I saw myself having. Maybe if I was 90, that'd be fine. But I put out some flowers outside my door. I was reprimanded for it. And I'm like, okay, this isn't going to work. So my husband and I would put our bicycles on the back of our car and drive across the bridge to St. Pete. And I fell in love with the city. I fell in love with the historical Northeast, as we had historic homes up north. And it reminded me of my old neighborhood. So I said, you know, I really love you, sweetheart, but I'm moving to St. Pete. I said, do you want to go? And he goes, well, I guess. And he said, you know, yeah, I'll give you a price range. You go find a house. Well, fortunately, it was 2016. I don't think we could afford it now. And we found one. And the house was in bad shape. It took 6 months to finally be able to move into her. She was old. She was 100 years old. Small, very small. We don't want it too big because we don't want all the kids coming home to live again. It didn't have an ensuite, didn't have a walk-in closet, it only had one bathroom, so it wasn't your HGTV home, but it suited me and John. So that's how we wound up here.
I understand you won some kind of an award for that house, though. Is that true?
Oh, we did. So the house was in bad shape, and it basically was sold as a teardown. And, you know, to me, that's blasphemy. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. And we spent 6 months. We had to live on our boat because the condo sold quite fast. And we lived on our boat while we worked on the home. That was 2016. Finally, 6 months later, we were able to move in. And then we won the St. Petersburg Preservation Award because they were grateful that we didn't tear it down. It's a classic 1920s Mediterranean bungalow. And it's cherished.
It's a beautiful home.
And St. Pete said, thank you for doing that.
Yeah. You did a great job.
Thank you.
So what do you see as St. Pete's biggest challenge for 2024 and moving forward?
Well, St. Petersburg is a wonderful city, and it's growing, but it's not unique to St. Pete, affordability, where our workers can live here. We recently were in Italy. And I was in a shop in Florence, and she spoke beautiful English. She grew up in Sicily, and we were just talking about the city, and she said, oh, I love it here. She said, we have to live outside of the city, and we take the train in. I find that when our daughter lived in Chicago, you take the train in. In New York, you take the train in, the subway. San Francisco has the BART. Atlanta has MARTA. And that's the answer. It won't be cheap, but putting in ADUs near downtown isn't cheap either, and it's still not going to be affordable because most people with Airbnbs, investors, they can get the money. Mm-hmm. So if we want St. Pete to thrive, it's going to take workers, and they build out, bring them in. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is the long term. Moving forward, I think that's the answer. That's the solution that Europe realized years ago and New York years ago. Mm-hmm. So it takes time, but that's where I see it moving forward. Growth is painful. And I think, however, we have plenty of people in the city that are ethical and are good thinkers. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're going to be okay, but we got to figure out a way to bring the workers in.
To build up the public transportation.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's
so. Tell our listeners about an accomplishment that you're proud of.
Well, everyone always expects you to say your children, and they're great. But I think for me, it was getting my degree. My freshman year at Ball State, I commuted with a girl who was in nursing. She was going to go into nursing. And at that time, probably mid-year, Delco Remy, Guide Lamp Division, which is General Motors, had a big call out, and they were hiring, and they were paying an astronomical salary. You had a discount on your car. I mean, the benefits were incredible. And she said, we need to go work in the factory. You know, you're going to make this and this and this. And I'm like, no, I don't think I can do that. Mm-hmm. For 35, 40 years, mm-hmm. It wasn't for me. And mm-hmm. I'm not putting it down. Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, it was a good living for many people, mm-hmm. but it wasn't personally for me. And fortunately for me, years later, General Motors pulled out, and devastated people and the town itself, which is practically a ghost town. When my parents passed away, I didn't know if I was even going to be able to sell their home. Mm. There's no one there. Mm. There were, at the time I was in school, there were 3 high schools, and now there's 1.
Wow.
But anyway, getting my degree and then being accepted in the cytology program, yeah. which was part luck and part hard work.
Yeah.
So
you got to be in the right place in the right time, yeah. but you also have to be ready.
Yeah. I was very proud of that.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be ready. So do you have any mentors that you want to tell us about? Did you have a mentor throughout your life?
Well, I will tell you who had probably the biggest influence in my life was my father. He grew up during the Depression. He was born in 1921, and he acquired polio at the age of 5 and required surgeries. And of course, my great grandparents were extremely poor, so they placed him in the care of the state so he could get the surgeries. And he grew up in an orphanage. At the age of 12, they threw all the kids out at 12 because they couldn't afford to feed them.
Wow.
So here he was during the Depression, 12 years old, crippled with an 8th grade education. That was it.
Wow.
And he said he walked along and saw a guy who had a garage, a mechanic's garage. And he said, do you have any work for me? He said, well, I'll tell you what, son. He said, you can live up over the garage. And he says, I'll teach you everything I know. And he said, my wife can feed you. And that's where it all began for him. Okay. And then he grew up to have his own place in Anderson. He had contracts with the Anderson City School Buses. Hmm. He had contracts with the Deason's Bakery. And he did very well. But he was old school.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go to college, you'll find a way.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't owe you anything. The world doesn't owe you anything. You owe yourself everything.
Wow.
So those were good words for me to learn by.
Mm. Strong work ethic.
Yes.
Take care of yourself.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. And I taught my children, I said, live like I'm dead,
mm-hmm.
because you cannot depend on me forever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they go, well, that's awful. I said, no, think about it. Think about it. Go out and establish your life mm-hmm. apart from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good advice. So you've been traveling a lot lately. Where have you been? And where are you headed next?
Oh, gee whiz. The spring is typically our traveling season. Winter, most places are too cold and you get snowed in. The summer, we like to stay around our old beauty, our boat, and our old home because of the storm season. So we just returned from Italy. My son is an officer in the Navy in Naples, and we flew to Italy, my first time there, and it's breathtaking. We took the train everywhere. We saw the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, to the beautiful Duomo. We went to Sorrento, and it was just fabulous. I could live in Italy. They're very warm, wonderful, loving people. Very food oriented. I would have to probably buy a new wardrobe. A lot of pizza, a lot of pasta. It was fabulous. And so next week we're heading to Cabo San Lucas in Mexico. My husband's oldest brother has a condominium there, and it's the Brochures family reunion.
Oh, nice.
And my, you know, a lot of people think my husband is funny. His family's more funny. Funny in a fun way.
A good way.
Not a weird way. Mm-hmm. So that's what we've been doing. And then when I return home, I'm home for a while.
For the summer.
Yes.
So what are you reading, watching, listening to these days?
Well, during COVID, I became addicted to British television, actually. BritBox. Acorn has Australian shows, which are fabulous. And BritBox has all these British shows. And I'm not too much into comedy. I enjoy it, some comedy. But I love police procedurals. And so, you know, Vera was on for 13 years. Mm-hmm. A Touch of Frost with the actor David Jason, who's fabulous, was on for 14 years. So that was a lot of television. Mm-hmm. And after a while, you know, one of the good things about being older is you forget. And so, you know, about 2 years later, I ran through them again. And I'm like, I remember some of this, but I don't really remember who did it. And I love their verbiage, their language, their accents, and the way they construct a story is fabulous.
It's a different take from American television.
Right.
Well, Anna, thank you for me in the studio today. This really has been a pleasure. I've learned a lot more about you, even though we've known each other for years. I appreciate this.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Sunshine Sisters, Women Making an Impact in St. Petersburg today. My guest today was Anna Brochures. Anna is an artist that has a studio at Art Lofts directly upstairs from Florida Craft Art on the corner of Central Avenue and 5th Street downtown. Anna's grand opening will be this weekend, Saturday, July 13th. The gallery and studio will be open from 5 to 9 p.m. Stop by and say hello. I'm Karen Carmichael.